Ramsey TV.
Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender. You're at MZTV, and you know, the one major objection people have when they hear that God is indeed the creator of evil, Isaiah 45:7, and that he brings evil and pain in our lives as a necessity to procure our future eternal happiness. It's the contrast principle. They become incensed because of the cruelty in their minds. And yeah, it's been in my mind too sometimes, even those of us who know that God creates evil and it's absolutely necessary, we sometimes think of God as cruel because of the depth of the pain and the agony that people in this life go through, especially when bad things happen to good people. We will see in the future glory, for all the sons and daughters of Adam, that whatever pain people go through, whatever trauma they are called upon to endure in this life, is absolutely necessary. And it is, the key to understanding it is its temporary nature. It is a temporary necessity for eternal happiness. It's a trade-off. And the people who reel and rail at this truth will see when they experience the future lasting glory, they will see the value of the suffering and the pain. It's all temporary. That's the main thing that needs to be kept in mind here. You and I know this, but even so, we still rail against it many times. And the world just can't grasp it at all. And so many people turn against God because of it. But today I want to show you how God has graciously granted guardrails against pain. And I contend to you today that these guardrails, their sole purpose is for the numbing or the dismantling, the temporary easing of pain. Isn't it a strange thing when you hear soldiers speak of having landmines exploding and them losing arms or legs, or when people are in terrible automobile accidents, or even when someone falls off a curb and breaks a bone, they report that at the time of the accident, they don't feel anything. This is such a strange thing. I've heard of soldiers looking down at a missing hand, a hand that has just been blown off, or a missing arm, looking down on their arm lying on the ground apart from their bodies, and what we would call it is a state of shock. A state of shock. This state of shock, which probably includes the rush of endorphins, is a protectant against traumatic pain. When we look at such a scene, we can't imagine how somebody in such a circumstance could survive it. That's because we're not in it. This is a thing that God builds into the experience. He doesn't build it into you while you're watching it, while you're not in the circumstance. He doesn't build it in for the person who is a spectator. He builds it into the person going through it, and saves it for the person going through it. Many of these people state that only later do they begin to feel the pain, but at that point it's manageable and can be treated with various medications. I'm not here to talk about medications except natural ones, but I call this the rush of endorphins. And you see it in a minor way when people are in athletic events, endurance events. There's endorphins that rush to the brain that temporarily push aside the discomfort that someone is going through. People report having supernatural strength in times of emergency or times of stress. You hear about mothers lifting up cars off their children, or people doing supernatural, or what appear to be supernatural feats in times of distress. This is a result of endorphins. I don't know what the hell endorphins are, but I want to tell you, on a basic level, I believe they're gifts of God. Because God understands pain. His Son went through it. The Son of God is not a stranger to our problems, to our pains, to our anxieties. And so, I'm here to report to you today that God is aware what you're going through. And God has provided humanity with gifts to help them get through it, because he's sympathetic to it. And because of his Son coming to the earth to suffer, he's also empathetic. Because God, you might say, suffers the pains of humanity through his Son. Another gift is the phenomenon of passing out, the phenomenon of unconsciousness. When people are so stressed, are so distraught, that they can't handle anymore, God sees to it that they don't have to handle it anymore. I don't know what the medical term is, but we call it passing out. Dipping into unconsciousness. Why does that happen? We take it for granted. Oh, she saw that terrible thing and she passed out. Or when she heard the news about blah, blah, she passed out. Or when so-and-so was in the car accident, she passed out. She passed out. Is this, what is this passing out? What is this unconsciousness? What is this fainting? You might be tempted to say, oh, it's just a human reaction. No, I contend to you it's a gift of God to prevent any further distress. It's a safety valve built into human beings that barely gets them through. I'm not saying that any of these things are insulators, permanent insulators, obviously, against pain or distress or trauma. But they get a person through the worst of it. There's a verse that says, you know, nothing has overtaken you except what is human. We think of the worst things we could possibly think of, people being tortured or these horrible ways that some of the martyrs died. And yet, none of them can come back and tell us of the gift that God gave them to help them get through. And we can't imagine it because we're not in the situation. I read one account of someone being burned at the stake, which if any one of us were to imagine that, it was like, how can anybody endure that? And yet, there was an eyewitness that reported one of these martyrs raising their arms in praise of God as the flames engulfed the body. Hello, endorphins. Thank you, endorphins. I think the disciples of our Lord experienced the same kind of phenomenon when they were beaten for their faith and they came out rejoicing. We have an account of Peter and John having been beaten by the Sanhedrin, coming out rejoicing. I'm not saying it's not incredible pain, please. I'm not saying that God does not give the sons and daughters of humanity incredible pain. But there's a limit. There is a limit to it. Here's where we see the mercy of God. These things are necessary, but there's a limit. There is a limit. And God provides for the endurance of these things by supernatural means. I call endorphins supernatural. I call unconsciousness or passing out supernatural. And we pass out every day. It's called sleep. I think one of the worst afflictions of humanity is the inability to sleep. Insomnia. I think that would be terrible. Many of you might suffer from it to one degree or another. But even then, God provides some sort of relief. I've been told of many people who can't sleep. They get up and they read, they think about God. They use the curse of consciousness to assess their lives. And there's just some sort of guardrail built into it. Sleep is a miracle. We take it for granted. But it's a gift. Passing out is a miracle. We take it for granted. It's a gift. Endorphins are a miracle. We take it for granted. It's a gift. It shows us that God is aware that life is hard. And he's done things to mitigate the agony. Some people endure horrible trials, horrible personal trials when they're young. They're abused. Children are abused by parents, by neighbors. They're just horrible stories. There's a phenomenon called the split personality, where the trauma is so bad that the person develops another personality to deal with it. It's like an offshoot personality. We may look at it as, oh, it's a horrible disorder, but I look at it as a coping mechanism. I look at it as another gift of God in order to fracture the human psyche, to send the evil experience into another place where it doesn't have to be consciously dealt with by the person. I suppose there could be many psychological phenomena that would come under this category. I don't look at these things as psychological phenomena. I look at them as gifts of God. And as we know, there are natural substances God uses to help people get through. Before I mention alcohol, for instance, I have to say that I am sympathetic to those who have abused alcohol, those who are currently abusing alcohol, those family members of someone who has abused alcohol. But the abuse of a substance shouldn't be used to completely degrade the practicality of such substances. Because alcohol is abused, it should not be seen any less of a gift of God. Again, my apologies to those suffering from the disease of alcohol or the families thereof. But David says in the Psalms that wine makes the heart of man glad. I endured a traumatic experience in 2012, an emotional trauma. This is the time that I moved from Colorado to Pennsylvania and was graciously accepted into the family of Clyde Pilkington. I've said many times that I'm indebted to that man and his family. But at that time, I began drinking wine. I probably drank almost close to a bottle of wine every day. Every day. I'm not a drinker. I drink on occasion. By the way, probably a nice time to inject here that I believe much of addictions, many addictions are born out of religious prohibition. That's my theory. My parents never told me that alcohol was bad. God was displeased. If you drink alcohol, alcohol is a sin. Alcohol is not a sin. Being drunk is a sin. Alcohol is not a sin. And so I would drink a bottle of wine, probably almost a bottle of wine, every day for maybe 8 months or 9 months. And I used it as it was meant to be used, I believe. I believe the sole purpose of alcohol, the fact that grapes can be fermented to make wine, or that grains can be fermented to make beer, the sole purpose is to help people get through this life. They're gifts of God. The Hebrew word for wine is yayin. The Hebrew word for strong drink or spirits or liquor is shekar. There's a verse that says, give shekar, that is strong drink, that is liquor, to those about to be dying. Well, if you ask me, we're constantly about to be dying. I mean, we're one step of death. We're one step away from death in this traumatic world, in this dangerous, dangerous, dangerous time period. We're living it. And so, before I would make, I remember this in Winburg, Pennsylvania, before I would make my show every day. I would come home from the YMCA. I'd be working out. I would swim a half mile. I would run 100. I would walk 120 laps around a track. It was 21 laps to the mile. It was 126 laps. Gave me 6 miles anyway. That was a buildup of endorphins to protect against the pain, against the emotional pain. That I would come home, and before I would go upstairs to make my show, I would go to the office area where we had some bottles of wine. I would pour a glass of wine. I would look at Clyde. He would look at me, and I would say, "Liquid courage." Clyde would say, "Liquid courage," and I would use it. Do you remember the man who I put in a role in my short little film there, Psycho Boy? I made that right after I moved to Pennsylvania. I'll put a link to it down here. It's called Psycho Boy. It's about what we believe and how people think we're crazy for the things we believe in, such as we'll be seated at the right hand of God, we'll be snatched away, so on and so forth. The man who played the psychologist in that video, his name was Wynn. I can't think of his last name. His name was Wynn, but in the film, I named him Dr. Wynn Bigler. I named him after my ophthalmologist in Ohio. But the real guy, Wynn, would call me. He knew I was drinking at this time. And he would call me and he'd say, Martin, I'm afraid, and I'm warning you, I'm afraid you're using wine as a emotional coping mechanism. He used another term. I forget what he said. I'm afraid you're using alcohol to get by, whatever. And I never forget this. I said, "What else is it for? What else is it for?" And I used it for that purpose. And it doesn't take away the pain completely, but it worked. And after I'd recovered sufficiently from that emotional trauma, I didn't use it anymore. I mean, this is a healthy use of alcohol. Not everybody uses it in a healthy way. And again, I apologize. Don't want anybody commenting here saying, "How dare you promote alcohol?" I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying that I believe it's a gift of God to help people get through this life. It's to be used, not abused. Goes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, doesn't it? Use the world, but don't use it up. Marijuana could be put in this category. It's natural. It's not a pharmaceutical. It's not a laboratory product. It's a plant. And many people use it to take away pain or to help them survive this life. For me, kratom, I've mentioned that before, is also a natural leaf. It's a product direct from the hands of God to help me cope with depression in this life. Just because we're believers doesn't mean we're not at times despondent, not at times depressed. It's very difficult to get through this life. But God has given these gifts. Everything I've mentioned today is a gift of God. And we need them all. Humor, of course, you might say laughter is a gift of God. I don't do too much of that, but I wish I did more. But all this to say that God is not far removed from our difficulties, even though, yes, he created evil, Isaiah 45:7, and it's necessary for our future bliss. We can't have future eternal bliss without temporary present pain. And God, in his graciousness, has built in to the human body, the human psychology, he has built in phenomena that help us cope, that, should I say, that stop the trauma at a certain point, stop the pain at a certain point, saying thus far and no farther. Likewise, he has caused to grow from the earth fruits, grapes, grains. Martin Luther said the proof that God loves humanity is that he gave us beer. Beer is fermented grains. Somebody found out that you could distill beer. And when you distill beer, you get liquor. You get whiskey. When you distill wine, you get brandy. They become, these substances, spirits. Interesting that we call them spirits. but they take the edge off of the pains of this life. I'm not here recommending them, because some people can't handle it. In a sense, I am recommending them. I'm, let's just say, commending God, and I'm thanking God for the things He has given us, both inside of ourselves and outside of ourselves, to guard against the worst of the pains of Eon 3.